Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. We certainly are walking through a very hard time, aren't we? And you know, God always uses times like this, even if it's once in our lifetime. He uses times like this because he wants to speak to us. He wants us to draw closer to him, and he wants to draw us to himself. So, brothers and sisters, as we go through this difficult time, just say to yourself, even something so simply as, Jesus, teach me. Jesus, show me. Jesus, help me. But I also want you to count on all my prayers, praying very, very much for everybody who hears this program and everybody who may just be tuning in for the first time. I really appreciate you. Appreciate your emails. Appreciate whatever you've done for me. I am so grateful. And I just want to encourage you. Let's stand together now. Stand strong. We're going to be out of this, hopefully, in this next number of months. But who knows? At the same time, let us turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want of me in this time? What do you want of me? Ask him. You may be surprised at the thoughts you have at times. Not immediately, but when it's appropriate. You may just get a thought in your head and you'd say, where did that thought come from? I don't know how I had that thought. That's sometimes a way of God directing us, not by long conversations, just by a word or an inclination. Or a desire that you know is of God. There are many ways he can reach us. So as we come to this Monday of March 8th, and we are in the third week of Lent, we'll soon be out of Lent. And I think we always look forward to that. But let's look forward right now to what God wants to do for us and with us and in us while we're in this position. The first reading is taken from the book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. Naaman, the army commander of the king of Aram, was highly esteemed and respected by his master, for through him the Lord had brought victory to Aram. But valiant as he was, the man was a leper. Now the Arameans had captured in a raid on the land of Israel a little girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife. If only my master would present himself to the prophet in Samaria, she said to her mistress, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went and told his lord just what the slave girl from the land of Israel has said. Go, said the king of Aram, I will send along a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman set out, taking along 10 silver talents, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 festal garments. To the king of Israel, he brought the letter which read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When he read the letter, the king of Israel tore his garments and exclaimed, am I a god with power over life and death that this man should send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? Take note, you can see he is only looking for a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent word to the king, why have you torn your garments? Let him come to me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel. Naaman came with his horses, his chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And the prophet sent him the message, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will heal, and you will be clean. But Naaman went away angry, saying, I thought that he would surely come out and stand there to invoke the Lord his God and would move his hand over this spot and thus cure the leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Parfar better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed? And with this he turned about in anger and left. But his servants came up and reasoned with him. My father, they said, if the prophet had told you to do something extraordinary, would you have not done it? All the more now, since he said to you, wash and be clean, should you do as he said. So Naaman went down, plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Think of that, brothers and sisters. Here's a man he was highly esteemed, he was respected, he was the army commander, but then he gets leprosy. And what a time that must have been. What a time. Who would they get to take his place? What would they do? But Naaman went and told his lord that the slave girl had told him, if only my master would present himself to the prophet in Samaria, that's Jesus, he would cure him of his leprosy. And so the king of Aram said, I'll send a letter to the king. And so Naaman went. And when he got there, when he read the letter, the king of Israel tore his garments and exclaimed, am I a God with power over life and death that this man should send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? Take note, you can see he is only looking for a quarrel with me. And when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent word to the king. Why have you torn your garments? Let him come to me. Listen to this. Let him come to me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel. And Naaman came with his horses and chariots. He stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And the prophet sent him the message, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will heal, and you will be clean. But Naaman went away angry, saying, I thought that he would surely come out and stand there to invoke the Lord his God, and would move his hand over the spot, and thus cure the leprosy. He's offended. Are not the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Parfar better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed? Do you hear his pride? Do you hear his anger? And again, his fear. So he turned about in anger and he left. But his servants came up and reasoned with him. My father, if the prophet had told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? All the more now since he said to you, wash me clean, should you do as he said. So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. And his flesh became again like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. And on his arrival, he stood before him and said, now, I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Look at that change. Look at that, brothers and sisters. We don't need necessarily miracles, although we can ask for them. But what we need to be able to do is trust God. Bring him our needs, whether they're physical or whatever they are. Bring our needs to him. Always. Trust him because he hears every word you say. And the gospel for today is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 24 to 30. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, amen, I say to you, No prophet is except in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And when the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl them down headlong. So he passed through the midst of them and went away. See, the people, brothers and sisters, don't believe. How many times in our life do we say, oh, yes, we know God. Yes, God is this. None of us really knows him. But we do know of his kindness, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy. He will walk with us every moment of our lives. Do we believe that? God is your constant companion. Please, brothers and sisters, trust him, for he loves you so much. And now I wanted to say that the psalm, I know I'm doing this a bit backwards, but for a reason. The psalm says, a thirst is my soul for the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? A thirst. I'm thirsty for God. I love God. I want God. Have you felt that way? That's what God wants for you. Ask his Holy Spirit to dwell more fully in your life. And believe me, there's a difference. I don't mean he's going to come and there's going to be great trumpets and all that kind of thing. I just mean that he will come to your heart and he will work a miracle in you over a period of time if you ask him. Ask yourself, what's the thing that you most have a habit of that is an impediment to God? Ask him. Believe me, he'll let you know. Ask him. And then when you do, just begin to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to put this as one of my main goals right now in my life. And that's what we want to do, that we might draw closer to him. Because as I've said before, we want to see one another in heaven, don't we? So as the hind longs for the running water, so my soul longs for you, O God. A thirst is my soul, the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? Send forth your light and your fidelity. They shall lead me on and bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then will I go into the altar of God, the God of my gladness and joy. Then will I give you thanks upon the harp. O God, my God, Lord, I want to belong to you. Lord, I want to draw closer to you. Believe me, you say, well, I'm nothing. No, you're not. You're a precious soul. Turn to the Lord and ask even more closely to follow him. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.